Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Okay, we're going to apologize to Randy Bergen for that because we got an old intro. And our buddy, our host, Randy Bergen, is not with us today because we are recording this on a Thursday afternoon. Randy's probably on the golf course somewhere, but he's going to be gone this weekend, and so am I. And so we're going to do everything we can to make the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report the best it can be with two old coaches here, and we're just going to rimrod. And what was the word I heard today? We're going to gallivant.
How about gallivant?
We're going to gallivant around this morning.
Gallivant's a good word.
And we appreciate all of our friends there at Alpha. And, of course, we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, and that new announcement's coming pretty soon. And we're going to be on the campus of Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai all the time. And we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to do that.
The only thing I don't like about that is I've always wanted to buy a new car when I go in there.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You know, you go in there and you start looking around going, man, that thing is nice. Then I look at my checkbook. I go, it'll just have to look nice for somebody else.
Well, that's a problem, Mark.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
A
real problem. You know, we've been we've really been watching these basketball finals in Birmingham. It's been an exciting week up there at the Legacy Arena and the newly renovated Legacy Arena. And of course, it's been exciting. We've had three teams from O'Shell Road that have been there and didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out for O'Shell Road, but they played some outstanding basketball to get there. And, of course, earlier this week we saw St. Paul's ladies. Amanda Niehoff has done an amazing job with those young ladies. And they just had a tough time. Lee of Huntsville comes in there, and they were ranked one or two in the state and just a tremendous, tremendous ladies basketball team. And they forced 20 turnovers from St. Paul's girls, and that was really the difference in the game. I'm so proud of Amanda. She was with us at UMS Wright with Terry Canova, and those two are so close. And I can guarantee you, how it is with competitive schools. I guarantee you, Terry Canova was pulling for Amanda's team.
Sure he was.
Because there's a great bond there. But 20 turnovers, just too much to overcome. They lose 53-34 to Lee of Huntsville.
I agree with you. I remember when Amanda, I think that was her first job,
was
at UMS. Yeah. I was there at that time and got to know her just a little bit and working a lot. When I was doing the middle school boys basketball, we used to practice with Terry's team in practice. And then he loved it. He loved those girls getting there and banging around on those guys. And it made both teams better. But I got to know Amanda a little bit and then to see her where she is, 12 years later, it's really amazing.
Mark, I'm not surprised that Terry wanted to practice against your team with all that intricate offense that you were turning out and having all this box screening and moving and doing all that. I know why Terry wanted to practice against your team because, heck, if he could beat those boys, then that wouldn't be much having to beat those girls' teams because you had some pretty good teams now, really. You did. You had a couple of teams that were pretty stinking good now.
They overcame a lot of coaching.
Well, I don't know. That ain't true, man. But I'm sure that helped Terry a lot. And then last night, Michael Knapp and the UMS Wright boys had to wait until 9 o'clock, supposed to be a 7:30 tip-off. Of course, things get behind a little bit in a basketball tournament, as we well know, and they tipped it about 9 o'clock. Again, playing Lee of Huntsville, and we're going to talk about Huntsville basketball a little bit later on. But Lee of Huntsville, UMS Wright boys had 26 turnovers, lose 59-36. And I'm going to tell you right now, that sets up a 5A finals between Ramsey and Lee of Huntsville. Now, those two teams played last year, and Lee of Huntsville beat Ramsey 47-29. Now, Ramsey's pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty doggone good. Inner city Birmingham, most fun I ever had coaching basketball was inner city Birmingham at Banks High School. And there were some places that my buddy David Cutcliffe says, Rick, you got it tonight by yourself. I'm not going to go, not traveling tonight.
They love that basketball in inner city Birmingham, boy. Pack the gyms out.
Ooh.
They'd get a little bit crazy in there, and everybody would be hollering and screaming. That was crazy. That was good stuff, though. It was a lot of fun to watch.
They come sit on your bench. Yeah. They sit on their bench now. And I look down there, and there's a guy in a big old trench coat. I'm saying, what are we going to do next? He said, you coach, I got this.
He's going to make sure everybody was all right.
He was my guard, I guess. That's what it was. But, you know, I think about Ramsey, you go all the way back. Willie Scoggins, for you folks in Birmingham, you know this name. Willie Scoggins was the head coach at Ramsey for 25-plus years. Never won a state championship, but buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, they played basketball 94 feet. They pressed you. They trapped you. They played man-to-man defense, and you couldn't breathe. You just really couldn't breathe. And so I am so excited now. Denton Johnson is the new coach at Ramsey and been there several years. And Denton, of course, they had a big win. Here's another thing close to home. They beat Carroll of Ozark. It's Carroll of Ozark's first time to be in a state basketball tournament. The basketball coach at Carroll of Ozark is Mike Henry. Now, you people listening in Dothan in the Wiregrass, you recognize Mike Henry. His brother, Marcus Henry, was a tremendous running back for Dothan High School back in the day. And Mike played for us, played basketball on teams I coached, and played football for us. Heck, we never thought Mike would end up being a coach. He was just, you know, he's a good boy, did everything right, never got in any trouble. We thought he'd do something where he'd make some money, but he decided that he wanted to coach, and he coached in Eufaula, had a great run at Eufaula, then took the job at Carroll of Ozark, and I'll be darned, I look up, and that boy's they're in the Final Four. And Carroll of Ozark, they've just been average forever in basketball. Well, not with Mike Henry. Those guys reached the Final Four. Now, playing Ramsey was a new experience for them, I can promise you that. So they got beat pretty bad, 84-45. So it was a tough night for both UMS Wright and Carroll of Ozark. But those two teams, Ramsey and Lee of Huntsville, going to play in the 5A finals, and that's going to be some kind of basketball, Mark.
That ought to be a lot of fun to watch. When is that game played?
Well,
is it tomorrow?
I'm glad you asked that, because we do have that. The 5A state championships are going to be played on Saturday. The girls' final is going to be at 9 a.m., and then the boys' final is going to be at 10:45. So that'll be Ramsey and Lee of Huntsville. And in the we'll go through that in a few minutes, okay. But that is that. Now, I tell you something else I saw today. And you were talking about Vestavia a little bit earlier, one of your wrestling coach's buddies. Vestavia Hills, Coach Smelser has got one heck of a girls' team. They play five out, Mark. They don't put anybody in the post. They play five young ladies out, and they just kind of run what we call the old Princeton kind of an offense, where they just stay outside. Every once in a while, they'll take a guard, and she will drive into the lane. Somebody picks her up, then she'll dump it out. They shot threes, Mark. They made 12 threes today. 12 threes. They beat Auburn 78-58 in the girls' 7A semifinals. 78-58. Now, they're going to play another pretty good team. This team, they don't send any Christmas cards between these two teams. Who do you think that is, Vestavia? Vestavia and Hoover. They do not send Christmas cards. Hoover's girls beat the Davidson Warriors. Charlie Shipp has had a great year over at Davidson. So Hoover beat Davidson 91-54.
Good grief. They must be really
good. Oh, they're really good. They're really good. So now that sets up a 7A girls final between Vestavia Hills and Hoover. Can you imagine?
There won't be a seat in that place. That place will be crazy.
It'll be rocking.
Yeah, it will.
It will be absolutely rocking.
That'll be a lot of
rocking.
Fun to watch.
That will be rocking. So, and they got – Vestavia Hills got two sisters, the Smith sisters. And, buddy, when they shoot it, they just start running the other way because they make them. I mean, they can shoot the eyes out of it. It is so much fun to watch them play. And so that's going to be something special. But I do want to congratulate Charlie Shipp. What a great year Davidson Warriors have had.
Absolutely.
So, but that will be the finals. That'll be Vestavia Hills and Hoover Girls in the 7A finals. And that game is going to be played. The 7A Girls finals is going to be played tomorrow at 4 p.m. We're going to get out of here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lots of funny. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Mark Lasseter, Rick Cleveland, Randy Bergen is on assignment and probably on a golf course somewhere in South Florida. But that's good stuff. We're all happy. But we miss Randy this morning, and he'll be back with us probably in a week or so. We are recording this on a Thursday afternoon, and we're going to talk a little baseball now with Kevin Raley. Kevin, how you doing, pal? Can't hear him. Kevin, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, pal. We hear you good now. Talk a little bit about baseball. I know you got a middle school game going on right now, but you've been over in Mississippi. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. We went to Mississippi Friday, and played over there this past weekend and went 2-1. We like going over there. McGill still goes over there. Matter of fact, we were at the same hotel with Coach Becker and those guys. This is great competition, man. You know, it's just really good stuff. You know, the pitching is good and the facilities are great. You know, it's just a good experience.
Well, I don't know. Was Hoover there? I was talking to somebody in Birmingham, and they said their baseball team was in Mississippi. And
they were.
Okay, so y'all were all playing pretty much the same people.
Yeah, kind of. You know, there's like six or seven sites, and they've got so many different. You know, Jackson's got a pretty big place.
Right.
There's some really nice schools, you know, 15, 20 miles outside of town. You know, some big schools, you know, great facilities. And like I said, the competition is just really good. It's good for the kids.
Well, let's talk about your baseball team, or our baseball team. I want to take some ownership of that too. But talk a little bit about our baseball team. And I know that one of the things that you guys were really hoping to really improve on as far as this particular team's concerned, to get some pitching depth. Talk a little bit about that.
It was just young. You know, I mean, we don't have a senior starting pitcher. You know, we've got a couple of seniors that relieve.
Right.
We got one that relieves, but you know, we knew coming in that, you know, our pitchers were going to be young kids, and they're good pitchers, but you know, we got to get them some experience. We got to get them in some tough one run games, you know, stuff like that, and see how they respond, and you just keep repping them. And you know, area play starts, I think, first week of April, and I think we still got 15 games before we get to that point. So, you know, we got a big one this weekend. We got Gulf Shores coming in town, and Smith Station here on Saturday. Two really fine programs, and we're going to run again back out there again. And you know, we've got all three of our seniors start. You know, Ben Hollisworth in left field, Jackson Wilford catches, and Will Jordan plays second. So everything else on your field out there is sophomores and juniors.
Coach, let me ask you a question. It always kind of befuddles me. How does it work with you guys when you're going into like a three-game deal over the weekend? Like a Friday night and Saturday, Sunday, maybe three different teams you play, but
right.
Your team, do you have to keep up? What is the rule on pitchers? How does that work with pitchers and how much they can throw? When can they throw? Can they come back into a game? I always get confused, and only baseball coaches seem to really understand it.
Well, ninth and 10th graders, their pitch count is 100 max. 11th and 12th graders have 120. And after that, they have to have their day's rest. You know, I would never throw a kid 98 pitches and throw them again 2 days later. I mean, back in the early 90s, I would do it. But, you know, kids are different. You know, I mean, weight room has made these kids so much stronger. You know, velocity has increased so much, and so there's more strain. But, you know, we set it up like that. And, you know, having the two 10th graders right now in our rotation, you know, we've got to develop some relief at the end of the game because it's, you know, it's hard enough to throw a complete game, you know, it's, you know, less than 100 pitches in 7 minutes. So,
sure.
You know, that's something that we got to get good at.
You know, you look in your outfield, and you got some kids that can run in that outfield, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We've got some athletic kids, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, with Cole Blaylock does a great job, Ben. Dancer Graham's doing a good job out there. Logan North's doing a good job at short. You know, Dineshma athletic kid. We've had a ninth grader just play a little fourth. Jeffrey Holston just played the first base fourth on the varsity. And, you know, so, I mean, we still got kids competing for jobs. You know, we're still working. And it's just going to be, you know, it's been fun. It's a great group. And we practice today from 10 to 11:30. And we went and got some lunch and came back, went from 12:30 to about 2:15, 2:30. So just it was too pretty to be. Only other place I'd have been would have been on a golf course.
Well,
and Brock Reeves kicked our butt yesterday, by the way. I got to put that out there.
No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
I don't think he had a single bogey the whole round, but he had a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't have any bogeys.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of those. Was Doug Barber playing with you?
No. So Doug's out of town. Him and Mike, they went to South Carolina.
Okay.
So, well, we gave the kids a short day yesterday, and we couldn't resist it. It was too pretty, so we went play some golf yesterday.
Well, that's good. I bet you they're playing some golf in South Carolina.
They're playing a bunch of it.
Yeah, I can assure you that. Well, Kevin, I know you got a big night tonight. You're finishing this up, and you got a big weekend coming with Gulf Shores and Smith Station coming in. Just wanted to touch base with you a little bit on baseball. Any new rules that are going to affect high school baseball that we need to know about?
No, sir. Nothing new. You know, I mean, the hybrid thing came in, but we pretty much dealt with that. Just a new way to get on the rubber. It's just something I really don't understand. It never was an issue, but you know how the National Federation sometimes they want to make it an issue. But anyway, we worked through that. It took us a year or two to get used to that with some of the pitchers. But other than that, it's just baseball.
Okay, so we're not going to do like some of the minor leagues did. If we're going to play extra innings, we're not going to put a guy on second base.
Please, no.
Good
please,
gracious.
We can't do that. And putting a runner on second with no outs, whatever, that's just not baseball.
Nope.
I'm sorry. It's just not. If you play 14 innings, so be it.
Absolutely. Let's just play ball. Let's play ball, pal. Take care, Kevin. Thanks a bunch. Always good talking to you, pal.
Yes, sir. Good talk. Thanks, Rick.
See you, buddy.
That's a good one, boy. I'm going to tell you right now, he does it the right way. And we're lucky like that. I mean, we've got great baseball coaches all around us. And I look over at Sarah Lynn and look at our buddy Brett Bout. One of those guys are doing good. But I do want to congratulate Sylacauga. Sylacauga beat Pelham this week. The Aggies got behind against Pelham. They came back and beat Pelham right there in Sylacauga on their home park, and that's a big win. Pelham had a rough week. Homewood beat Pelham 1-0. They shut them out up in North Alabama. Oneonta defeated Boaz 7-1. And Montgomery Academy, boy, they've had a great year in sports. They were really good in football. They've been good in basketball. They've had, you know, they're starting off in baseball. They beat Laverne 9-0. So Montgomery Academy, we're going to talk about some of those great high school athletic programs a little bit later on. And then Brett Boutwell, they defeated Mary Montgomery, and Mary Montgomery is coached by one of our old boys from down Dothan way. And I'm going to tell you his name in a second. Heck, he was the best left-handed pitcher that I had seen in a long time, drafted by the New York Mets, ended up coming to was going to go to South Alabama, signed with South Alabama, but ended up getting drafted by the Mets and signed a major league contract. And I'll think of his name in just a minute. Heck, I know as well as I know yours, Mark, but you know, age catches up.
I understand.
But Sarah Lynn defeated Mary Montgomery 6-4. Trevor Pope picked up the win. He struck out 7 in 6 innings, and Logan Brewer came in and pitched a perfect 7th inning for the save. And Garrett Phillips was hot at the plate. He had a double. And I think Matt Milner had a triple. And Brooks Womble had a double. So they started off pretty doggone good. And there goes the FM Talk van. Charlie, I hope nobody's taking it away from the parking lot. I hadn't seen that thing move in a long time. But, boy, FM Talk 106.5 is going all over Mobile today. So congratulations to Brett Boutwell and the baseball team over there at Sarah Lynn. In softball, Spain Park defeated Hoover 7-5. Hoover then turns around and defeats Springville 7-3. And that's pretty much all the softball scores we got there. So I don't see a whole lot more. Jasper did defeat Pelham. We're going to talk about Pelham. I mean, Jasper. Pelham's had a rough week in softball and baseball. So Jasper defeated Pelham 6-5. And let's see, Prattville defeated Marbury 9-4. And in soccer, Trinity defeated Pike County 9-0. That's pretty much a spring sports roundup. In girls soccer, Montgomery Academy beat Dothan 4-2. And in boys tennis, Hoover won the Nelson Bryan and Cross Challenge at Jasper High School. A doggone old Isaac Wongo. He won the number one singles against Helena, and Homewood took the finals title 10-5 in a tiebreaker over Jasper. So, boy, we're playing tennis, softball, soccer. Everything's going. Athletic director's dream, Mark.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
Springtime.
This is the time to be an AD. I'm telling you right now. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we're coming to you recorded from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. God bless you. And ask God to be with our country right now, because we sure need it with what's going on way across the water over there. We'll be back with more right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report with Jake Boy Crane.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You know, local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affairs problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for their business. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give our buddy Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. I want to jump right into this guy. This guy is, this is a guy that I love like a son. I'm going to tell you, this is Kurt Crane's son, a guy that most of us know as J-Boy. He's got a great podcast going. He's just kind of changed directions now, and it's called Crane & Company. It was formerly the J-Boy Show, and, boy, they are knocking it out of the park, Mark. Jake, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Coach. I appreciate you having me on. It's always great to talk to you, and appreciate the kind words. Yeah, we joined the Daily Wire up here in Nashville to be their inaugural sports show, and it's been amazing. We're on live from 2 to 3 Central every weekday on YouTube, the Crane & Company YouTube channel, and then Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff, and it's been unbelievable, man. We got the number 3 sports show in the world right now on Apple Podcasts, and trying to get to number 1, trying to dock off Dan Le Batard and them.
Hey, the Le Batard boy down in Miami, huh? So that's a tough a tough market to crack, too. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. We've been very fortunate and very blessed and very humbled for the opportunity, and just excited to keep it rolling.
Now, how did this come about, Jake? Kind of throw that at us.
Yeah, well, you know, we were with Colin Cowherd in The Volume, and, we're in the middle of renegotiating our deal, and Ben Shapiro reached out to me. And, you know, the funny part is we don't talk politics, you know, on our show. We
still
don't, you know, because, you know, I think a big draw to our show is, even, you know, being at the Daily Wire, that's a political place, is that, you know, sports, whether it's, you know, certain entities I won't name on here, they just virtue signal and try and just shove ideologies down your throat instead of just talking about sports.
I mean,
if people want to talk about politics, there's plenty of stations to talk about politics. You know, we stick to sports. You know, our debates are sports centric, and we don't. You know, we're not going to tell you how to live your life or what you should do or should you wear a mask or anything like that. We're just, you know, the only masks we talk about are face masks. So that's about it.
You know, Jake, one of the things, and I want you to tell people how they can find you now, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Auburn football, because I want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're always on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's Crane & Company. You know, if you want to support us and support the show and help us try and move up to number 1, like I said, go over there and take a listen. I think you'll like it. We're on YouTube at Crane & Company Live every weekday from 2 to 3 Central, but it, you know, stays on there posted, so you're not going to miss it if you don't find it. And yeah, I think we're about to start being on Roku and a couple other spots as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's talk a little bit about Auburn football. I'm excited. First of all, I want to talk about Auburn basketball. We kind of get out of a slump. We get an overtime win at Mississippi State. We close out the season against South Carolina at home. Talk just a little bit about the job Bruce Pearl has done and what you expect in the postseason from the Auburn basketball team.
Well, I don't think I have the time to be able to tell you, you know, everybody, in my opinion, what Bruce Pearl has done for Auburn basketball. You know, I remember, you know, I was a ball boy at Auburn underneath the goal in 1999 and watched what Cliff Ellis was able to do with that team and getting Auburn ranked number 1, and it's been awful ever since. I mean, with Tony Barbie and them, it's amazing to watch what Bruce Pearl has done. And I think they're going to have a chance to make a run of the tournament. They got to start, really, in my opinion, Rick, running the offense more pursue Jabari Smith. The guards have to play better. But the talent that he's brought in, the excitement that he's brought in, the consistency that he's brought in has been unparalleled. And it's been amazing to watch. And look, they could win it all. We know how crazy it is in college basketball in the tournament. You never know. But when you have a front court like Auburn does, if the guards can just calm down a little bit and not turn the ball over, I think they'll have a chance to go far. But it's just it's absolutely incredible. And when Tony Barbie said you could never win at Auburn, well, when you have a coach like Tony Barbie, you can't win anywhere.
Love that. That's Kurt Crane's son, right?
Oh, it
there.
Is, no
I'm
doubt.
I'm telling you right now.
Call him like his head. I tell you what, Coach, one thing I've noticed is that basketball – to me, now I'm not a big as you can tell by looking at. I'm not a big basketball guy. I never played much, but I've watched it over the years, and it seems like I've watched Alabama and Auburn this year, and I've watched other teams throughout the SEC and the country. The teams that are 3-point shooters, that are big 3-point shooting teams, they can beat anybody on any given night. They can also lose to anybody on any given night, and I think that's taken a little bit. It's just me, but the teams that play the game where they still feed it inside all the time and they get the 2-point every week, they're pretty good. Yeah. They don't have many slumps. But if you're a 3-point, is that something that y'all see, or is it just me just not knowing what I'm looking at?
Look, I'm a firm believer in good. The best teams, you know, especially when you play in the tournament where you got to win 6 games in a row, you got to be able to win in multiple ways. And there's a few things that travel in basketball. Like in football, running the ball and defense travels. In basketball, rebounds and post play travels. You know, whether it's being able to feed it inside and work it back out, whether it's being able to get offensive rebounds and putbacks or offensive rebounds. The best 3-point looks you're going to find are off offensive rebounds that are kicked back out. You always want to ride the hot hand. Look, you got to know who you are. You got to dance with the one that brought you. Auburn's not, this isn't Bryce Brown and Jared Harper and those. This isn't that style of team. This team is more of a defensive, rebounding, half-court set type team that's not bad in transition. I'd much rather them get in transition and shoot a three than try and run shoot the three on a three on a half-court set. So I do think some of the shot selection, lately hasn't been great at the guard spot.
Yeah.
But shooting in basketball is also kind of like hitting a little bit in baseball.
Yeah.
It's going to go through ebbs and flows. You just want to be balanced enough where if the shots aren't falling from deep, you can work it in the post. If the post game's not working, you can make up for it at the three-point line. But most importantly, being able to defend and rebound.
You know, Jake, it's unacceptable to me, and I'm a big Bruce Pearl fan, obviously. But it's unacceptable to me. We get the ball with 7 seconds left to go in a game, and we don't get the ball to Jabari Smith, and he doesn't get that last shot. That's unacceptable.
Rick, I couldn't agree with you more. And Bruce Pearl, like I said, he's forgotten more basketball than I know.
Sure.
But it doesn't take John Wooden to figure out that Jabari Smith needs the ball with a chance to create.
Right.
A lot of it, I have more of a problem, like at Florida, for example. That last possession. You called a timeout to make Jabari Smith the third option.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in when somebody shows you who they are, you need to believe them. We've seen Wendell Green at the end. Sometimes Auburn has too many heroes and not enough sidekicks. And sometimes you got to get the ball to Batman and not Robin. And Jabari Smith is Batman.
I love that.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Kid, I know you got something to do tonight. We're going to talk Auburn football later on, but I am so excited for you. And listen, PSR is always here for you, pal. Always here.
Coach, I appreciate that, man. You know how much respect I got for you and how much I love you, brother. And I'm always down to come on and appreciate the support.
Well, you take care. You call me if you need anything, pal. God bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
Love that young man.
I tell you what, you know, you can tell guys who are really good.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah. On the radio,
he's
quick. He's decisive.
Yeah.
Knows what he's saying. I've never listened to him. I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on that and listen to that the show.
He'll talk about the Crimson Tide now. I mean, he'll give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I promise you.
Right now, I just want to talk about whatever's going on right now. What's hot right now?
Oh, I'm going
to March is about to be. March is here.
Yeah, March is here.
And this is when I love basketball.
Yeah.
I love the high school championships toward the end of it. I love watching high school. I like watching our kids play.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not a big – what I'm not going to turn the TV on much to watch college basketball or pro basketball, but now when it gets to the tournament.
March Madness.
I love the tournament. Love that. I love watching
stuff.
That.
It is good stuff, and there's a lot of good teams, Mark. I think there's probably 10 to 12 teams that can win the national championship this year. And I'm going to tell you something. That includes Alabama. I mean that. I think Alabama's
they can't.
Got
– I don't – I'm worried about Alabama's character.
Well, you know
– I watched that thing last night for a little bit, and I was like, what on earth just – boom. They just quit playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, but they beat Gonzaga.
I know.
I mean, they beat Gonzaga. They beat Houston.
Those teams are scary. But see, like he said, what he was saying was that those teams can't do six games in a row.
Yeah, that's probably the problem, and I worry about that for Auburn too on a neutral floor.
Yeah,
on a neutral floor.
That's what Bryant keeps telling me. He says, "Oh, if we got to play neutral or away, we're in trouble."
Yeah, well, and both Alabama and Auburn have huge, and especially Auburn has a huge, huge home court advantage.
No doubt,
boy, if you get a chance to go there, you've got to go in there and see that. But hey, and then Tuscaloosa—they're fixing to rebuild the Coliseum there. They're fixing to.
I hate to see that. Are they going to tear the Coliseum down? Or are they going?
That's a good question.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm sure Ellis can tell us.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah, we got to get him on.
If we can get him for 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, we got
to. He has to hurry. He's got to get from one office to the other. Coach Saban's looking for him.
Good gracious alive! So proud of that boy.
Me too.
So proud of that boy. Of course. You know when? Tell him who we're talking about.
Ellis Ponder.
I'm telling you, he is Coach Saban's right hand man. From everything we hear.
Yeah.
And I don't think he gets to play golf very much, though. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think he works 8 days a week.
Man alive!
That's what he was telling me when I talked to him on the phone the other day. He said, "Coach, I'm going from one. I don't hardly ever have a day off. I just work." He goes, "But that's, you know, if you want to be successful
at
Alabama, that's what you got to do. That's why we do it." And he goes, "And I love it." So
That's good. And he's being rewarded pay wise, I'm sure, because they take good care of those guys. And so Ellis Ponder, we are Fairhope proud of you.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a Fairhope Pirate, and he did everything you asked him to do there at Fairhope High School, and then he went and played golf, and boy, he can hit it a mile.
Yeah, he can.
I'm telling you, he can sure stroke
it. And he'll tell you all about it all the way down the
fairway.
There
is no doubt. He will talk that trash. He is, but one of the finest guys. I mean, I loved playing with him. Great kid. Hey, you listen to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We are recording on a Thursday, and we're going to give you all the basketball coming up. We're going to go a little bit longer. We're going to we're going to give you all the basketball finals that are going to be played this weekend. So Saturday, when you're listening to PSR, we should be able to give you what's going to be happening on that day. And
there it is.
The boys. There they go. That's old Becker and Fagan. That's called reeling in the years, Mark.
I know. I got it on my phone.
That's some good stuff. Hey, we'll be back with the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central Alabama in my hometown of Sylacauga, Alabama. Love you, Sylacauga.
Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
That ain't nothing like Boz Skaggs. Now I'm telling you right now. And you know, do I need to tell you?
I already know, but you can tell me again
June
so everybody 24th. Will know, and you can brag a little bit more, make me feel really
absolutely.
Bad.
I'm taking you.
No, you're not.
No, I'm taking you.
Nuh-uh.
I am. I'm taking you.
No.
They won't see you come in. I got you. You're coming in right between
Charlie,
us.
Can you take over my spot? I'm going home. I have to. I don't make the little guy at the rides at the fair. You know, with his little hand stuck out, I don't reach that guy.
That's
either,
okay. So. I'll video it for you. Whatever.
Okay.
Hey, we've been talking for weeks now about Spanish Fort and the football job. And today, as we're recording this, today the Baldwin County Board of Education made the announcement. And it is exactly who we had talked about a little bit earlier. Chase Smith is going to move from Orange Beach and going to take the job at Spanish Fort High School. So the Baldwin County Board of Education approved the hire of Orange Beach head coach Chase Smith to lead the Toros. Now, Chase replaces Ben Blackman, who left earlier this year to take the job at Enterprise. Now, Spanish Fort's previous two head coaches, Mark Freeman and Ben Blackman were both hired away from Gulf Shores High School. Now, Orange Beach is kind of a spinoff of Gulf Shores High School. And so get your impressions on that.
Well, you know, Baldwin County has always, from wherever I've been in this area and kind of watched how things happen, Baldwin County is a school system that likes to hire folks from within their school system.
Right.
They do. They like to reward the guys who've done a good job, who are loyal to the system. That doesn't mean that sometimes they don't go outside and get somebody. But when they have somebody who they feel like is in their school system that's done a good job, that's worked hard and been a Baldwin County guy, that they'll move them in a position that they think that it would behoove them to bring there. And Chase is that kind of guy. Now, he's come here and done a good job where he's been. He's worked hard. He's, Orange Beach trying to get that thing off the ground down there. It's not an easy job for anyone. But Chase has worked hard, and I think they know that. I think, you know, you got Eddie Tyler and Marty McRae, first of all, you two people over and the higher-ups there that are ex-football coaches, you know, and they're not ex, but they're still football coaches.
You're always.
Football, always.
Right.
They're not coaching football anymore, but they understand what it needs and what Spanish Fort needs. Marty did, you know, was a principal there, so he understands that. So I feel like they had probably gone and looked, and they had a lot of really good applicants for that job, and I think they've decided, you know, this is the guy we want. I think Spanish Fort's going to embrace him. I hope they embrace Chase and say, you know, come in here and do a job. You know, he's not Ben Blackman. He's not Mark Freeman. He's Chase Smith. He's going to do things his way and maybe a little different, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Give the man a chance to come and do his job, and he will. And I think he's going to do, if given time to implement his program into an already tradition-rich in a small amount of time program, I think he'll do a great job there. Chase has got his hands full now. It's a lot of work to be done. You know, there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, let's tell you about Chase Smith. Let's just give you his resume. And, of course, he started the program at Orange Beach. And the Makos, that's a neat name, they went 3-6 in his initial season there. And then this past year, they went 9-2 and hosted a first-round playoff game. Now, prior to accepting the job at Orange Beach, he spent one season as the head coach at Robertsdale. He was 2-8 there, but that's been a tough place for everybody. Everybody has struggled
tough,
at that place.
Yes.
One of the most fun coaches I've ever coached was Robertsdale.
No doubt.
Great
people.
Great people. Just had a tough time keeping enough athletes to compete in such a tough league that they have to compete in. Now, Chase played football at Spanish Fort. And then he went on and he graduated from Jacksonville State. He's been a high school assistant, and he started out in 05 at Spain Park. Then he went to Greenville and then to Spanish Fort. Now, the one that he was with the whole time was now the offensive coordinator at UAB, Bryant Vincent. And Bryant Vincent was hired at South Alabama when Joey was there, and Bryant Vincent was brought in as offensive coordinator there after a winning stint at Spanish Fort High School, and Chase was with him there at Spanish Fort. When Bryant became the offensive coordinator at South Alabama, he brought Chase Smith to South to be a part of Joey Jones' staff because Joey allowed his coaches, his coordinators, to play a role in who they hired. Now, Chase, while he was at Spanish Fort, he coached running backs. He coached the defensive line and the offensive line. And as a matter of fact, while he was there, they were like 39-13, and they won the 2010 5A state title. Now, if you remember, I think that was their second state title. Did Mark Freeman win a state title at Spanish Fort? I'm sure he did.
That would have been before Mark.
Yeah, that was before Mark. Yeah. But that was the first state championship. That's right, in 2010. He then joined Joey Jones' staff at South Alabama in 2011 as a GA. He was a GA there. He was a director of football operations and served as an on-the-field coach from 2013 to 2017 and primarily working with the tight ends and the offensive line. So he's an O-line guy.
He is.
And he's young, and he's got – I mean, he loves Spanish Fort. And, you know, those two guys, what can you say about Eddie Tyler and Marty McRae, the job that those guys have done just to bring the athletic program, just to keep making it better year in and year out? I'm excited for what's going on at Spanish Fort, and I just hope everybody will get involved and support that program. You know, you got a lot of great people up there that support that program and just do wonders.
Yes, they do.
They'll do anything to help that program be the very best they can be, because it's all about those children.
That's
all
right.
About the children to them. And so I'm excited for Chase.
I am too. I think he's going to do a really good job. I will, and I reiterate again, when you bring a new coach in to a system that he hasn't been in a while, you've got to give the man time to get his culture, what he believes, his part of his culture to marry up with Spanish Fort's culture that's already there.
Yeah.
But he's got to be him. And you're going to have to let him be him. And if they do that, I think he's going to be fine. I really do.
And you know, Mark, you've said this 100 times. You've said it more than that. Mamas and daddies, don't let the football team lose your child at the dinner table.
At the dinner table.
Do not let them lose that player at the dinner table. Mamas and daddies in Spanish Fort, give this guy every opportunity you can to be successful there, because he'll make a difference in your children's lives if you give him that chance. If you just give him that opportunity, he will make a difference, because he's a Toro through and through now.
He is.
I mean, he's coming home. That's right. He's coming
home.
And
the Spanish Fort folks know this. They get it. And I know that, but it had so much success.
Yeah.
And it's been so, you just can't lose sight
of the
real prize. And Chase is bringing it with him.
Yep.
Just give him a chance. He'll be fine.
They lost a lot of players this year.
It's
going to be a rebuild.
That's what
it's
I said
gonna
a minute
be a
ago.
Rebuild. Yep. All right. The first hour's gone. And we'll be back for the second hour on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. We'll be right back.
For the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we are presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you pre-recorded from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here at Fox Sports Central Alabama and FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter, we are talking Rick Cleveland, and we're talking high school basketball playoffs. And, of course, we talked about O'Shell Road. We talked about Amanda Niehoff at St. Paul's. What a wonderful job Amanda's done this year. What an amazing job Michael Knapp did at UMS this year, a year that was kind of going to be a year where, you know, we're hoping to be 500 or a little bit better. Guys come out and win 20-plus games this year, get to the Final Four. Ends up against Lee of Huntsville, have a tough night there, but still get to the Final Four. That's a big, big thing for there. And then the other team on O'Shell Road, McGill Tulin, Philip Murphy's team. Man, what a great year they've had. They go up against Steve Ward's Huffman Vikings, and boy, that was some kind of basketball game there. You know, you look at a 62-58 game, McGill loses it. It's, you know, with 7 seconds to go, they had a chance to tie it up, but they had a turnover, and then they end up making 2 free throws to make it a 62-58 win for Huffman over McGill Tulin.
You know, I'm going to go back to your comment about the UMS team. It's a delight for me this year.
Yeah.
I got to see Barton Elliott.
Yep.
And Barton was in my elementary PE classes at Bayside years ago, before he left and went over to UMS, and I got to see him when UMS came over and played at Bayside, and I saw him, and I hadn't seen him in years. What a delight it was to see him, and for him to have a really great. And he had a pretty good game in the last ball. I think he was in double digits in points.
Yeah.
But just shout out to him. And just a special kid in my heart from when he was at Bayside, one of my PE students, and great, great kid, and he's got a great senior year.
Yeah, he sure has. Quarterback on the football team. And last night he hit several threes. I mean, big buckets for UMS Wright. And Michael Knapp has said on more than one occasion to me, he says, Rick, he is one of the finest defensive players I've ever coached, if not the best.
Yep.
He is a fine, fine defender. And, buddy, he really, really had a great senior year. So happy for him. So many of those other kids that were out there, Bridges Simmons and Joe, you look at Joe and some of those other kids that just had a great year. Chitty. Chitty had a great year. We'll go through all of them at some point in time.
You know, I really hate it for McGill. I was really hoping that Phillip would get into the final game, you know, because he knew this was a good, he told us early in the year when he was on with us, he said this is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And he didn't say that very much. He's pretty sharp about what he's doing. Yeah. He's a very good coach and he's very common sense about what he's got. And he said this team's pretty good, and so he was really, you know, really thought this team had a shot to make it. And I just hate that must have been a barn burner ball game.
Oh, some kind of game. It was some kind of game. That's a great thing, and I know you do this sometimes, but you can subscribe to the National Federation of High Schools, pay $10 a month, and you can watch anything in America.
Yeah.
You can watch Mater D play football, or you can watch IMG play basketball. You can watch all of those schools play, and during football season, it's heaven for me, boy. You can find any high school football game in America on the National Federation Network, and this.
You know, there's a big baseball tournament going on in Birmingham this week. I know our team's going up to play in Oxford. I don't know if they play today or they play tomorrow.
Yeah,
but they're playing. Then they're going to play. Are in this tournament. I don't know if they're going to play them. IMG Academy's in it.
Yeah.
And I was talking to our baseball coach about it, and he said, you know, they got guys. We've got some guys that are going to get some scholarship offers to some schools, you know, from around here and some good offers. He goes, IMG guys, they've got guys that are got scholarships to Florida State, Clemson. You know, he said they got about nine of them, not just one or two, nine or ten.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, man, they're going to come out with some guys. And he said, yeah, it's going to be good for us. And I kind of like it because it's kind of the Phil Lazenby mentality of playing early in the season. Who you play gets you ready for the playoffs later on. You face good competition.
Yeah, that's good. And I bet you some of that will be on the National Federation Network.
I bet it will,
too. I would imagine that will.
Yeah.
But going back to McGill, you know, of course, they had Alabama's Gatorade Player of the Year and Barry Dunning Jr., Arkansas signee. Oh boy, big 6'8" kids. He had 25 points last night, 18 rebounds. And then Miles Murphy, coach's son. Miles Murphy, 17 points. Miles Murphy's going to play college basketball somewhere. Somebody's got to get that kid because I'm going to tell you right now, when they need a three, Miles Murphy is there. But the thing about this team at McGill was the way they played defense. Boy, they played defense like there was no tomorrow. And they just ran up against a doggone good team.
Yeah, they did.
Huffman, Steve Ward does a great job there. But congratulations to Phillip Murphy and the McGill basketball team. Had a great, great year. And so now that will mean that Huffman will play Coleman for the state championship because Coleman defeated Park Crossing 71-55. Now, this is so cool to me. This is really, really cool to me. So I'm watching, and I notice while I'm watching this basketball game that Park Crossing's got a lady coaching them.
Really?
And, we just never think that there's a lady coaching men's basketball. Well, Courtney Ward is the ladies' basketball coach. No, she's not. She's the men's basketball coach at Park Crossing.
Yeah.
And so Courtney, when I started thinking about it, it rang a bell because Courtney played at Jeff Davis in Montgomery, and she played for a buddy of ours, Tim Miller, and they won a state championship when Courtney was at Jeff Davis. Well, she's obviously moved around. Now, Tim Miller now is at Hazel Green, and they were 33-0 coming in. They're going to play for a state championship this weekend. Courtney Ward played for Tim Miller. Now she is the men's basketball coach at Park Crossing. And now, Park Crossing lost to Coleman 71-55, but it wasn't because of coaching.
Yeah.
Coaching, she's done a great, great job, and that's just different for me, Mark. I know we live in a changing world, and that excites me. I'm glad to know that we've got ladies that want to take that chance to coach a boys' basketball team. I can tell you this, Amanda Niehoff could coach a boys' basketball team. I promise you that. She could coach one. So that was just different. I didn't know if you saw that. Or
I did not. I did
well,
not know that.
That's we're excited for Courtney Ward to get Park Crossing into the Final Four, but they lost to Coleman. Now, the girls' team down here that set the woods on fire was Davidson. Charlie Shipp's Davidson team. They went up, I think they were like 32-3 or something, and they went up and played Hoover, and they played today on Thursday as we're pre-recording this. They played Hoover, got beat 91-54. And we talked a little bit earlier about the Vestavia Hills. Coach Smelser at Vestavia Hills is some kind of basketball coach. He's a Louisiana guy. He's one of Terry Canova's.
Is he?
He's a Cajun cousin of Terry Canova's, I guess. But Vestavia Hills beat Auburn 78-58. And so now they're going to play Hoover in the finals. And Hoover defeated Davidson. So that should be – it's like you said at the beginning of the show – place is going to be packed.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be crazy packed.
That's going to be
They'll
something.
Be having a big time on that ball game. And, you know, Charlie's done such a great job at Davidson for so long. And I'm really proud of every year his team's going to be right there. Yeah. You know, if you're going to play David, you're going to have somehow to go to the state, you're going to have to go through Davidson sooner or later.
Yep.
And I just hate it for Charlie that they didn't make it. You know, to the last game, but man, what a great season they did!
Well, he has had a great year, and he's always done a great job, and we're excited for what he's done this year. And you know, he's overcome some health problems too. He really has. Health problems.
He has.
He's an umpire in football. He's a guy that you and I never did. We just those umpires. Bob Pannone set the tone for you and I. He was always going to throw one flag just to let us know that
right off the bat
he was out there to call it. But Charlie does a great job as a football umpire, but he's a tremendous, tremendous job as a ladies basketball coach at Davidson. Had a great year. Tough ending though, 91-54 against a really good Hoover team. Will play Vestavia in the 7A finals this weekend. So, and then our other team, Baker, Coach David Armstrong. What a wonderful job he's done. They were defeated by James Clements this afternoon, and so James Clements now will play Enterprise. I'm sorry, that's not. It is. They'll play Enterprise for the 7A state championship, and we'll talk a little bit more about that game after a while. You're listening to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report on Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back. The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And the local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affairs problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for their business. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Mark Lester, you know that we're right in the middle of your season of golf. And as a football coach, you know, you work your fanny off from about 1st of June all the way through August, and then you're lining up and playing, and then your season's over and you have a little break, and now you're teeing it up in golf. And let me throw this in real quick. If you want to know about golf around the Southeast, around about any kind of golf, listen to the Southern Fairways Golf and Radio Show. It's the premier golf show in the Southeast. It covers high school, college, amateur, professional, all of those tours. 52 weeks a year, Randy Bergen is recognized as one of the top golf show hosts by many in the golfing industry. And as a matter of fact, he's also the host of PSR. And we miss him today, but he's on the golf course somewhere. I can promise you that. Doing business, he might. Of course, we couldn't see him if he was in here.
I couldn't.
We tried to find him. but I know you played in a big tournament at one of my favorite courses in Montgomery at Wind Lakes, and I know it's been a fun week for you.
It has. It was a great trip to go up to Wind Lakes in Montgomery. It's a beautiful golf course, and you know they do that tournament right there. They have some folks, Jim Wilson, and some folks from years yep. gone by. This is the 30th year of this tournament, and they wanted it to be one that really promoted youth golf in Alabama. And so 30 years ago, they had this idea, and they did it where they made it to where they spent so much money that lots of schools could come. It was the entry fee is not very high, and they could come play on a really nice golf course in a really nice place, and kids could go out and play golf. And then we had a big dinner that was on Monday night. And I forgot to do something. I meant to do it, and I'm mad at myself right at this moment. There was a lady who came and talked to our kids mm-hmm. At the dinner, and it was about a 25-minute talk. She talked about mental health for kids in high schools throughout the country. She talks to them all over. She does a lot of work in Montgomery and throughout Alabama trying to help kids with mental health issues. We're going through some time and with COVID, what happened during COVID, so many kids were left at home for so long. They begin to see some mental health issues appear.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to help with some things like that, and I'll get that for the next show next week. But anyway, that was part of the program, you know, and then you go play golf. And
right.
What a great tournament it was. Mountain Brook. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Mountain Brook, they're good. They're good. Their JV is good. Their JV won the tournament at plus 15 as a team overall. Okay, they won the tournament shooting a 591, and that was their varsity crew was in Tuscaloosa in the Patriot Invitational, another yeah. big tournament that's put on by Alabama Christian, or is that American Christian?
No, it was American Christian.
American Christian. Yeah. They put on the tournament over in Tuscaloosa, and I don't know if they won it, and I'm sure they did.
But, unless Alabama's golf team was playing in it, probably did win.
But those guys are very good. They get a really good program, and everybody's striving to get yeah. to that place. And but anyway, Mountain Brook finished first. Coleman was second. Fairhope had a really good tournament, finished third. Two of their guys, Tripp Duke, was one under for 2 days with a 73-72, and then Miles Miller was plus three for yeah. 2 days. That's a good round for those two guys. St. Paul's was without their number one player and played very well. They finished fourth with a 628 plus 52. And Auburn High School, and I don't know if this is Auburn's number one group. This may be their number two. I'm not positive on that. But they shot plus 59 or 635 for 2 days. So it was really, you know, that was a really good bunch. And so you start looking at all the other – now, UMS, I think, was at the Patriot right. Invitational. I didn't get a chance to talk with Adam about it. I talked to him for a second yesterday and forgot to ask him how they did. But I really want to give a shout-out to Luke Ferguson, a ninth grader at Bayside, Coach Ferguson's youngest son. He shot one under at Wind Lakes on the second day.
That's tough.
That's pretty tough because I was looking at it, and as only five kids shot any round under par.
Wow.
Only five, and he was one under. He ended up, I think, 22nd overall. Cole Camiotti had another Mr. Consistency, was 10th in the tournament at five at plus five. And wow. I'm hoping we can get Cole on. He's going to school next year on a golf scholarship to play at Missouri Science and Technology
really?
In Rolla, Missouri. And he's Ooh. And it, He looked at some other places, had some other offers, I think, but this is the place he wants to be an engineer.
Yeah.
And that's where he wanted to go. And that must be a great place. Their CFO or CEO, I'm sorry, just donated. The CEO of Sprint.
Right.
Telecommunications phone company donated $300 million to the school Ooh. About a month ago.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good little gig. And that's Man. All about there's not just the golf program. That's about for the school itself. And so I'm really proud for Cole. But What a great trip it was for us to go up and play in that tournament.
So what was Mountain Brook's JV for 2 days? What was their total?
591.
All right, so what?
Plus 15.
All right,
that's 15 over par for their four top scores. Everybody was under 80 on their team.
That is amazing. Everybody. And that's their JV team.
That's their JV. Yeah. Now, their varsity was that Adam had them down at the Adam Bain, the coach at UMS, had them at the David Miller tournament,
and they won that. Yeah.
And their number one on that team, I think, shot 66 the first day.
That is just absolutely amazing. That is absolutely
Have you ever played the tips at Lakewood? That's a challenging course to play.
There's no doubt about it.
They were not quite the tips, but it was pretty close, and Adam made me make sure that was not his idea. So I'm just telling you that right now. Adam, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus, buddy, but it's not your idea.
No, I don't think Adam would want to play
the
tips. No, he
didn't. It just happened. Something got miscommunicated and ended up being that. And when we got there, it was laid out and we played it. So it was a lot of fun.
The course superintendent generally is the one that has that responsibility.
Yeah, and it could have been that he thought it was one way, and because those guys do a great job at Lakewood.
It doesn't matter.
You just go out and play Lakewood. My gosh, you just go out there and enjoy it.
Boy, that's a dream come true for a lot of those kids. That is a dream.
Saw some good kids in that tournament, and this thing is about to start heating up.
Yeah.
The golf tournament, they got a big one going on. We'll talk about next week down at Gulf Shores.
Yeah.
Gulf Shores Invitational's coming up. Bayside, we're hosting one. The 21st and 22nd of March, we're going to host it at Rock Creek.
I can't wait for that. I'm just going to walk that course and watch y'all.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's
going to
be
a lot of fun. And then there's the Joe King that'll be at Auburn University Club, and then the Bradley Johnson at
Birmingham.
What's the name of that course? I've got brain dead all of a sudden.
Well,
the pro course.
Yeah, there's a Shoal Creek used to be, but there's another one now. Gracious days, I'll have to.
I think it's Shoal Creek.
It may be Shoal Creek.
That's in Inverness out there by Intnar. No. It's
Greystone.
Greystone. Yes,
that's where they play.
Gosh,
yeah,
that's getting old, son.
Yeah, I know it is, but that's okay. There's so many great golf courses up there at Inverness. There's a
great golf course out there.
Greystone is fabulous. Shoal Creek is a wonderful. Heck, it's one of the. It hosted a major. Major for several years at Shoal Creek. Great high school golf in this area. Some really good teams. I know McGill's got a really good number one player. Mm-hmm. You guys have got a really good player. Adam has got a really good young team.
Yeah, he does.
And so there's some really good players there.
I really like the McGill kid.
Ooh. He's something special.
I can't think of his name. I'm going to get it in a minute.
I'll get his name.
Plays quarterback.
Yeah, on the football team. That's exactly right. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report on Fox Sports Central Alabama, coming to you out of Sylacauga, Alabama, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Let that play, Charlie. And we're just going to bring you back to a little bit of Boz Skaggs right here on
How about
FM
a whole
Talk.
Lot of Boz
A whole Skaggs. Lot of Boz Skaggs. Okay. Listen to Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Boz Skaggs. And he's talking about business in the streets, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's great stuff. You know what? I know everybody's got their own kind of music, but if you don't like Boz Skaggs,
and
you don't like Steely Dan, and doggone it, I just don't understand. Let's give you the rundown on what's going to be happening and what happened last night and what will be happening today as we're pre-recording this on a Thursday. But we're going to give you we're not going to give you the matchups. We're just going to tell you the times that games are going to be played. On Friday, the 2A girls final will be at 9 a.m. The boys final will be at 10:45 a.m. And then in Class 3A, the girls final will be at 12:30 on Friday. That's tomorrow. And the boys final in 3A will be on Friday, yesterday at 2:15. And you're going to see all the champions. You go to AL.com today, and you can see all of these champions from Friday. And then Saturday, of course, we're going to play the 4A state championship. Yesterday it was played at 4 p.m., the girls' final, and the boys' final was played yesterday afternoon at 5:45. Now, today's schedule is the 5A state championship. The girls' final is going to be at 9 a.m. this morning, and the boys' final is going to be at 10:45 a.m., and that will be, I can tell you who that's going to be. That's going to be Ramsey versus, let me get my notes. Ramsey is going to play in the 5A versus Lee of Huntsville. So that should be some kind of matchup there this morning at 10:45. Now, this afternoon at 12:30, the 6A girls' final is going to be played. And then at, 2:15, the 6A boys' final is going to be played. And that's going to be Steve Ward's Huffman Vikings are going to play Coleman. And that's going to be at 2:15. So that should be some kind of basketball game. And then to close out the state championships today, the 7A girls' final at 4 p.m. Now, let me tell you this. This is going to be some kind of basketball game, and we've talked about it already today. It's going to be Vestavia Hills, and you want to watch Vestavia Hills and Hoover, because Vestavia Hills, they run an intricate offense where there's those five young ladies are spread out all over the court, and they'll try to penetrate into the interior, get in the paint, and then all of a sudden they'll pop it out to a three. And one of those two sisters, the Smith sisters, they can shoot the eyes out of it. You will love watching Vestavia Hills play. Coach Smelser has done a wonderful job. They had a 78-58 win over Auburn in the semis. They hit 12 threes in that semifinal game. And then you're going to see one of the best high school girls teams that I've seen in a long time. You're going to see Hoover, who was a 91-54 winner over a really good team from Mobile, Charlie Shipp's Davidson Warriors. So that's going to be the girls' final, and then the 7A boys' final is going to be at 5:45, and that is going to be Enterprise and young Rhett Harrelson, 27 years old. Rhett Harrelson was a high school quarterback. His dad was a high school quarterback at Enterprise for Bill Bacon. He went on to Western Carolina, Rhett did, and played college basketball there, and they defeated Spain Park in the semifinals, and that's going to be some kind of matchup in that 6A, because they're going to play James Clements in the finals. And I want to tell you a little bit about James Clements. The head coach at James Clements is a guy named Frankie Sullivan. Now, you may not recognize that name, but all of us Auburn people know Frankie Sullivan. He was a former Auburn University standout, and he won five state titles at R.C. Hatch as a high school player, five state titles. Now, his James Clements team dominated, I mean, really did. I don't say they dominated, but they beat a really good Baker team today, coached by David Armstrong. They beat them by 14, 80-66. And so that will be the 7A state championship game. Now, Enterprise was there last year and lost in the finals. Rhett Harrelson has done an amazing job. Enterprise forever has been a football power. I mean, a dominant football power in the Wiregrass. Rhett Harrelson has come in there and done a tremendous, tremendous job and has gotten them to the Final Four 2 years in a row, into the state championship now 2 years in a row, and they will have their hands full against this James Clements, the Jets. Reminds me of Banks.
Yep.
James Clements, Jets. And they will play in the 7A state championship game, and that will be the final state championship game decided, and that will be this afternoon, really tonight, at 5:45 p.m. And if you have any opportunity to watch that, you certainly want to see that game. That should be something special. So that's a rundown of the state championship games.
Coach, where is James Clements?
James Clements is in Huntsville.
It's in Huntsville. Is it a county school?
That's a good question.
I don't know if it's a Madison County school or a city schools. I don't think it's in the city school system.
I think it is in Madison County.
I think so too.
I think Jack Doss, and listen, we need to mention this about Huntsville. You folks up in Huntsville, you know, we talk a lot about when we play football playoffs, the Huntsville teams hadn't had much success. But let me tell you something. James Clements comes into this tournament. They had 9 losses. And those 9 losses came from teams in Huntsville. You're talking about Grissom. You're talking about Lee of Huntsville. And when we mentioned Lee of Huntsville, old buddy of ours, Jerry Dugan was the head basketball coach at Lee of Huntsville for 28 years. When you played in Huntsville, Jerry Dugan was the head basketball coach of Lee of Huntsville. And he's something special. I'm telling you, he is something special. I don't think they ever won a state championship, but every year they were doggone good. I can tell you that. And you're talking about a character that loves the game. Jerry Dugan loved high school basketball. One of my favorite people ever as a high school basketball coach was coaching against Jerry Dugan.
I'll tell you, one of the best – I mean, we talk about Huntsville basketball. When I was a kid, one of the best basketball games I think I ever watched was when I was at Butler.
Oh, yeah.
And we had Bobby Lee Hurt was on our team, and we were playing J.O. Johnson at J.O. Johnson, and they had Bobby Catledge.
They played at South
played
Alabama.
At South Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those two big guys got – they were brawling. And, I mean, they got after it. It was a lot of fun. It was a great basketball. I think Johnson actually won the game. But, man, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy Key played on that basketball team.
The baseball player, Jimmy Key, the left-handed pitcher?
Yeah, I think he was – I could be wrong. I have to double-check, so – if I'm wrong, you Butler folks out there, don't get on me. But I can't. It seems like he played basketball.
I didn't know that.
But I may be wrong. I may be wrong.
I know he was a great pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm telling you that.
I'll tell you another story. We're playing summer league baseball after my senior year. I'd already graduated. I was playing summer league for some reason. Jimmy Key's pitching on the other team. All right. I'm at the plate batting. Our catcher from our Butler baseball team is behind the plate. His name was – we called him Fritz. And Fritz, real country boy, he says, Mark, he's fixing to throw you his fastball right down the middle. I go, all right. So, sure enough, fastball, I don't even touch it.
Yeah.
Next pitch, fastball right down the middle. He goes, God, mighty, Mark, I'm telling you where he's throwing it. Look, this is going to be a curveball. I'll get him to slow it down for you so you can see it. Throws a curveball. It breaks about 9 feet. I turn a complete circle at the plate, and Fritz goes, no wonder Coach Winter put you in a baseball game.
Mark, you shouldn't tell that story. That's funny.
But that guy, I'm going to tell you, Jimmy Key.
He's special.
And he was a sophomore then. I was a senior, and he was a sophomore.
Ooh.
He could – and, man, he was a really good pitcher. Good
That's fun.
Pitcher.
That
That's
was fun times.
That was
good stuff. I can only imagine. I got to go. I got to tell you a little bit about a football coach of ours that I'm really excited for. Jim Bob Strickland. Now, you don't recognize that name, do you? Jim Bob. If I said Jim Bob, you're going to say Jim Bob
Harris.
Right. Played in the secondary for Alabama.
Played safety, number 9.
Yeah. Well, now, Jim Bob Strickland is the head football coach at Geneva High School in Hartford. Now, my father-in-law was a heck of a football player, according to him, at Hartford High School. Now they've renamed it Geneva County High School. And I mean to tell you, Floyd Enfinger Sr. loved Hartford, Alabama. And I've always kept up with Hartford because of that. And Jim Bob Strickland, I want to call him Strickland all the time,
yeah,
Strickland, like Larry Strickland from Selma, that was such a wonderful man. But Jim Bob Strickland just resigned as the Geneva County head football coach. His wife, as a matter of fact, Carrie, is the girls' basketball coach. Now, his daughter, Caroline, was the most valuable player in the Alabama-Mississippi game, and she is now a freshman at the University of Tennessee playing for the Lady Vols. So you know she's a heck of a basketball player if she signed with UT. Now, Jim Bob's a unique guy. He's a musician. He's a bass player, and he's a lead singer. And he's in a band called the Band Britain. And the Band Britain is a cover band for the Beatles. Now, somebody asked Jim Bob, he said, well, you going to quit singing? No, heck no. Man, we get more calls to play than we've ever gotten. He said, I'm going to step away, and Kerry and I are going to kind of look somewhere toward Knoxville, maybe for a job. So Jim Bob is probably going to relocate to Knoxville and be there with Caroline, and I'm sure Kerry won't have a hard time finding a job either because they're quite a team. Just good, that's good, awesome. Good people. I'm wondering what's going to happen to the man Britton, though. That's what the question is. You know, he was the coach of your boy, Emmanuel Henderson.
Yes.
Number one ranked running back in Alabama. Yeah. So good luck to my buddy Jim Bob Stripling. Excited for you and Kerry. God bless you. Have a great, great time in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be back with the Faith segment right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
This segment of the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, so many things I want to talk about today, but if one thing just keeps pressing on me is every time I turn around, I hear something about what's happening in Europe. And I know it's a long way away, folks, a long way away from right here, right now, right this minute. But I am so afraid of what could happen. What might happen? What do we do? How do we help those people? There's sometimes in our lives you run through things where you have no control of it whatsoever. So many times there is no control over it. You know, there's a word that I love that I try to find all the time. It's part of being a part of grace, which is called serenity. Serenity is a state of being calm and peaceful and untroubled. That's a really nice place to be. How do I look on the TV and see that little girl in the Ukraine crying, grabbing her mama and holding on to her with everything she's got because her daddy's staying to fight? He's a civilian. He's staying to fight. How do I stay calm, peaceful? Is it just okay because I live in America and I don't have to worry about that? That just doesn't sit right with me, Rick. It doesn't sit right in my soul. And I have really struggled the last few days about, you know, where is this going? You know, history repeats itself. When it does, I hope we learn. And obviously, some folks in Russia haven't learned. You know, whatever their reasoning is, I don't really care what their reason is for what's going on. But didn't we learn from the last time we had aggression in Europe? Didn't we learn? How did we stay peaceful? America can't just sit on the sidelines and say, you know, we got to get on our knees. I don't mean we got to take up arms and go fight. We may have to. I don't know where we're headed. But what we've got, the only thing we can do is ask for help. In my life, when I've run into trouble, and I have run into it, and there's some things I couldn't control. I could not win. I couldn't defeat. I had to ask for help. Until I asked for help, I didn't get any better. And I have to ask for help all the time. It's not a bad thing to ask for help. And I don't know where I'm going with this talk tonight because I don't really know how to wrap my arms around. I'm just telling you, I'm speaking from the heart now. I'm just telling you. I saw a little girl on TV the other night, and it about broke me in half. But you know, Rick, there are people, too, in our own backyards, little girls who are holding and hugging onto their mamas right now. May not be about war, maybe about something else. What do we do to help? I think what I'm getting at, how do we give back? How do I give back what God has given to me? My, you know, I live today and my life is pretty peaceful.
Yeah.
It's pretty serene most of the time. The only time it gets screwed up is when Mark gets involved. There are people who are hurting that are in our neighborhoods. They're in our schools. They sit in our classroom right in front of us. They're on my golf team, possibly. They're on our baseball and football teams, sitting right in front of us, and they're struggling. They're hurting. A woman told us a story the other night about this man, this is tough. This young boy, she told us a story of her son coming through. And I'm going to make it real quick. Great kid, loved sports, loved school, loved people. Smile on his, just one of those kids you see come in your classroom every day. If he didn't have a smile on his face, you go, hey, what's wrong?
Yeah.
He just, yeah, we've seen him. We've all seen him. Yeah. This kid's like that. He helps everybody. He goes to church, you know, does the thing outside of church. He just does it all.
Yeah.
He's 14 years old. And one morning, his mama tells the story. Said, run up and get your stuff. Let's go get in the car so we can get to school. And he didn't come back down. She went upstairs and found him, and he was no longer alive. He had taken his own life. And mama said, what did I miss? What hurt did I miss? Where did I miss it? She said, I knew a couple little things were going on, but I thought, he's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody's not. What do we do? We got to give back. I can't keep my serenity if I don't give it away.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling that tonight, and I'm just, or today, and it's just really something that's been eating at me, this thing and going on, because I think it's going to get worse over there before it gets better. I'm really afraid of what's happening. And it made me think what's going on over there is warfare.
Yeah.
Here, it may not be guns and bullets warfare. There's maybe something going on, a warfare in your own house or in your. So all I'm going to do when I leave here today is go hug my children and hug everyone and make sure I keep an eye out for those kids that I'm going to teach and coach over the next few weeks and just make sure everything's okay, because we just don't know, Rick. And my whole point in this whole thing today, I know I've rambled a little bit.
No, you hadn't.
But I can't keep peace and serenity in my heart if I don't give it away.
Well, and we do owe that to ourself to give it away. We need to give it away. We need to give it to those children that God has allowed us to be around each and every day. People make fun of our buddy, Steve Savarese, because he says it's all about the children. He meant that.
Yep.
He meant that. And coaches are kidding me all the time. But, you know, remember, Cleve, it's all about the kids. Well, it is all about those children. And they go home sometimes to things that we cannot imagine. And you hit the point very well, Mark. It's in our own backyard, but the world situation is in God's hands.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us all about that. The story is there. It's already written. It's written. And if you don't believe and you don't read and you don't understand, well, then that's on you. That's on you. And so the story has already been told. It's been told. And Mark, thank you for that, because that is real. That's a real, real deal. One real, real quick thing. At Premier Collision, we will handle all of your auto body repair needs. Auto body services include painting, body work, and more. Most auto insurance is accepted if you're in an automobile accident in Mobile County, Baldwin County, or Gulf Coast area. Premier Collision is your number one choice in auto collision repair. Premier Collision works hard to ensure that your auto collision repair experience is stress-free, and we offer a lifetime warranty on all repairs. Our professionals are trained to the highest level and ready to return your car to perfection. Give us a call at 251-478-4500. Talk to our buddy Chris Garris. He'll take care of all of your auto repair needs. Mark, thank you for that. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, next week. And remember, please pray for our country.